Welcome to Clamp, the weekly podcast where we discuss all things related to creating, living, and making projects. I'm your host, Grant Alexander, and joining me as always is Jesse Ratfink and someone who's recently changed their name. This week, we have the pleasure of having a guest maker that has never been on a podcast before. You might have seen his green hair walking around at Maker Camp, trying out all the stuff. He's the kind of guy who likes to cut stuff up and glue it back together. He may not have a list of all the stuff he's done wrong in his life, but his name is Earl. Welcome to the podcast, Earl.
Yay!
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah. So why don't you tell, and I'm sorry, you probably got the My Name is Earl stuff throughout while that show was really popular and are probably really tired of it, but I'm a bad person, and Adam started the show without me being able to ask whether or not you're okay with it. So I just went with it. Why don't you tell everyone a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Well, my name is Earl.
And you did the thing.
Like making things. I wanted to get into woodworking a few years ago, before I even realized that YouTube had more than cat videos. So, I bought a bunch of, well, not a bunch. I bought a table saw, crappy, like the cheapest, job site saw that I could find, and a miter saw, which actually turned out to be decent, on a Black Friday sale, and started trying to mess with that stuff. And, that's like the introduction to the like greater maker world other than like artsy crafty type shit. So, right. You know, I've done some wood burning and some gluing things together, cosplay stuff. I guess cosplay is probably the big one. I got into cosplay around 2009, before you could go out to the store and buy a costume in a plastic bag. But yeah, that's pretty much all I've done so far. So I've been looking to get into more maker stuff.
And you're not just Earl; you're Earl the Third.
Yep.
Where's it, are you actually Earl the Third, or is that just like your Instagram handle?
No, I am the third.
All right.
So my father and my grandfather were both named exactly the same as me, except for the, you know, that last part about the third. They were junior, senior, whatever.
Yeah. Nice.
So yeah, I'm the third in a line of three people named Disley. There's not going to be a fourth.
Is that where that starts? Like, there's no Earl the first and Earl the second. It's senior, junior, third.
I don't think anybody is named, you know, senior until they decide to name their child after them.
Yeah.
But you can definitely be like Henry the first, right? So like it's a king.
Yeah.
If you're a king or just like really full of yourself. I'm Grant the first. The first of his name.
I was going to say, but it's like the first king with that name, right?
Right. First king of that particular. I am king of my home. The first of his name.
I am queen of my home.
Good. Nice. Progressive. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
My wife wears the pants.
I believe that. Well, we wanted to have Earl on because we both attended Maker Camp last weekend, which was a blast. And one of the things that we had discussed a little bit beforehand was kind of like this, you know, anxiety is about either trying new things or meeting new people. And while I was at Maker Camp, I saw Earl, and I know he doesn't have a big giant following, and he doesn't know a lot of people out there, but I saw him talking with everyone and trying all the stuff. And I think he tried more stuff than I did, and I had like my own little hang-ups on getting into places, and you know, I wish I had a wingman I could just take with me. I know Jacob from Other Dog Designs, I kind of like roped him into like doing a bunch of stuff with me, because I happened to walk up at the, I think we were grabbing stuff from the Avid CNC tent together, and then we just kind of like walked through that process of making the little catch-all tray. But that was good, because then you had like someone to stand in line with that you didn't when I stand in line by myself and I end up getting with people I don't know, I just want to leave the line. If nobody's talking to me, or if like I'm in line and like the people behind me have their back turned talking to someone, and the people in front of me have their back turned talking to someone, I'm just there by myself. I'm like, I could just go and leave. And I definitely did that. I was going to make the tongs, which were another Avid CNC thing. And I was in line, and that's what happened. And I just left the line, and then I never ended up making the tongs. So I wanted to have Earl on because I saw him doing all the stuff and hanging out with all the people and overcoming some of these anxieties we talked about. So I wanted to talk about, like, what strategies did he use? And then we can talk that about MakerCamp, and then like, you know, bridge it into anything else that you've ever done in your lives, so that Jesse and Adam have something to say. So yeah, Earl, why don't you start with how you were feeling on the way there, and then maybe we can go from there.
Yeah, on the way there, I was just kind of unsure of how things were going to be. I didn't know the layout of the Maker Camp. I didn't know like what the campsites were going to be like, how far from the facilities they were going to be,
right,
how close to another person I'm going to have to sleep, you know, things like that. Didn't know where I would need to go to find stuff or anything like that. And so I was just kind of thinking about what I would do in certain situations, like, oh, what if I don't have electricity at my site? Or, you know, what if I have to walk all the way across camp just to get to a restroom or something like that? Which kind of ended up being the case for both of those things. So, you know, luckily I just didn't necessarily mind. The only thing I really wanted to have electricity at my camp for was to charge my phone. Yeah. And luckily at one point in my life, I decided to put a battery pack in my book bag. It was not in preparation for Maker Camp. It just happened to already be there, probably nice, from Dragon Con. And so I had a battery pack and it was charged already. And so I was able to use that to charge my phone. But yeah. Oh, and I was going to say, you kind of mentioned on the podcast that you wanted a wingman a little too late. I was on my ride home from Maker Camp when you were like, yeah, I need a wingman. I was like, well, shit, you could have told me and I would have been like, I'll hang out in line with you. I don't know anybody else here.
Right. Well, and this is, when it comes to that, it's like, it's difficult because you don't want to presume that someone wants to do the stuff you want to do, right? And like, so if you try and find a wingman and they're like, well, I want to go do this. And you're like, I want to go do that. And you're like, right? Like, to have a good wingman, you got to have a conversation ahead of time where you go like, well, Saturday, we're going to do all the stuff I want to do. Sunday, we're going to do all the stuff you want to do. Or like, figure out the times. We're going to work on them together to figure out like this and then this and then this. And I feel like having all these things you talked about, like where the bathrooms are, where what the layout is. I know the first time I went to Maker Camp, I had looked at The Art of Craftsmanship did a Maker Camp review video on their YouTube channel. And they had like setting up their tent and where it was in relation to all this stuff. And I think they had a flyby with a drone, but maybe not. Or maybe it was another channel that I saw it. But like all that, like I was like consuming content to try and get myself to a place where I felt okay going there for the exact reason. I like to have a map when I go to a place. I like to have, like, if I were going to a convention, I want a map. I want to, like, I want to know all the different places I need to go, where I want to hit up. I want to like plan it out ahead of time, almost like draw a line on the map of everywhere I want to go. Does anyone else feel that way? I see Jessie nodding her head.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, that was part of my hesitance to go, is like there just wasn't enough information for like how late I was looking, you know. It was too overwhelming, too little information and too many like unknowns for me. So yeah, I agree. I like being really prepared for stuff.
Well, if you want to be prepared, I would suggest trying to rent a room there, but they sold out the day after Maker Camp.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Oh, for next week. Yeah.
Yeah, already. They're already sold out. of all the right. rooms. Now they have camping is a different thing. They have a ginormous
Too bad if they decide resort. To just not do make a camp next year. No refunds.
Yeah. Well, they only take a deposit, but they would definitely they do not seem like the type of place because I know during the COVID year they refunded everyone. Because they couldn't hold it.
Yeah.
So they are not unscrupulous. They seem like stand-up citizens who would not screw people out of money. They seem like the type that want everyone to have a good time.
That's important. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't think they would be able to have such a successful event if things went wrong. Because people talk in the maker community, right. you know. Yeah.
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 So you before the event, you had these like fears, these anxieties, these I don't know what to call them, like you overthinking, right? Worries about things that eventually did come to fruition, but it didn't end up mattering. I know the bathroom thing was like one of the things that I was really concerned about, and I was like last year I was like across the bridge on the way on the entrance in. And they had this brand new bathroom facility. I was like, I'll go back there, even though it's far away, because the bathrooms were so nice. And for some reason, those bathrooms had been closed down for a health code violation. So they just had a whole bunch of porta potties there instead. So there's no shower. And I went, oh, well, I'm not going to go there then. Like, I ended up camping in a different spot. But like that was a big thing to me. I was like, I had already planned where I was going to camp. Like I had it all in my mind and ended up having to go somewhere different because of that. And I, you know, just started off the thing on a weird shift and but pulled it all together after that. It was fine. Just one of those things. So you get to Maker Camp or you get to anywhere you're going and how you get involved. How do you get in there? Right? Like what were like I get you. You probably know some people, but you don't know a lot of people there. Obviously, you knew me, but I'm sure I wasn't the first person you saw. So, what'd you do, Earl?
Well, so I kind of teeter between being an introvert and an extrovert. So, it's all situational depending on the time.
Yeah.
I didn't know some of the people that I saw when I was going in and registering, but when I was leaving, I recognized Dean Duplantis. As I was coming out, and so I was like, oh, hey, I recognize you. I said hello to him. And then like after I left there, I was, you know, continued to walk back towards my tent. And then I saw Christy.
Oh yeah.
You know, from Making Our Way.
Yes.
Got a pause for the comma. and so you know, I said hello to her as well. But then, you know, there were in both situations, I think there were other people with them. And of course, you know, like I almost didn't need, I'm pretty sure it was like, it came off that I didn't even acknowledge their existence because at that point it was like, I don't know you and I don't have the icebreaker to like say anything to you unless like Dean or Christy were to say, oh, hey, these are other people. That didn't happen, which is okay. But I just was like, yeah, I'm not going out of my way. It takes too much social capital or whatever to say hello to these folks.
Yeah.
So I was just like, all right, I'll just continue on to my site. As far as meeting other people afterwards, I think the next person that I talked to was actually Jimmy DiResta. I kind of gave like a head nod as I acknowledged that he was there walking nearby and he came over and introduced himself and gave me a name tag. So that kind of helped. And then after that, everything's kind of a blur. I don't remember exactly who I saw when, but just kind of like working up the courage to say hello to people that I recognize from Instagram kind of helped with being introduced to other people. Which is kind of lucky because like, again, it takes a lot of like social capital to say hello to someone that has probably never seen your face or heard your name in their life. And so one of those folks that that I talked to was 3D DIY Dave.
Oh yeah, he's a good guy.
And yeah, he was very kind and like was like, "Hey, I'm gonna go over here if you want to go," and like introduced me to a few other people. And I think he either I think he introduced me to a guy named Stu from Yellow Mug Incorporated, mm-hmm. Who introduced me to Laura Kampf, which was really cool.
Oh, that's fancy, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so
you got all the big names out of the way real early on, is what you're saying, and that really like helped. So if you're coming to Maker Camp next year, just go right up to the big names and just say hi, and then walk away, and now you've gotten out of the way. You don't have to worry about it.
It's like when you go to jail and you just go to the biggest guy you see.
Yeah.
Knock him out.
Ah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Then you're Alpha Dog.
Yeah. So you became Alpha Dog, and then
so Earl asserted his dominance.
Right.
Day one.
Or we'll go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, sure. But you say you got lucky, but you also like you can see someone and like avert your gaze and walk away, right? I definitely did a couple of those. I don't know. I don't have an icebreaker. Like you said, like you need to have I need to have a reason to go up and talk to people. I know lots of people mm-hmm. who don't.
Same.
What I like to do is try and sit when I was eating, sit with someone new if I could. It's hard because especially if you just go sit down and then your friends see you, they come over and sit with you and you're like, mm-hmm. that's great. But I was trying to find new people, whatever. No, that was good. But okay, so you met people. So that's meeting people. Seems like that helped to open the floodgates. But for me, I had a lot of like hesitance to like, I don't know why, go into some of the tents. Did you have any of that?
Yeah, so there was there were a lot of tents that as I approached the tent, whether it was my own like preconceptions about the content that was in the tent. So like the first few times that I like walked up to like the Broadbeck Iron tent, mm-hmm. or the Avid CNC tent at first, or the one that was across the way. I don't know what the name of that tent was, but it had like the Green Street Joinery folks and Shaper guys, and
mm-hmm.
I think it was the Highland Woodworking tent or something like that. But as I approached them, they seemed to be like really busy, and there was like no one like welcoming people to the tent, kind of directing people to things in the tent. It was just like, here's a tent and there's a bunch of shit going on. Good luck. Find the right person if you're able. Actually, the Total Boat tent, I probably walked into the Total Boat tent 4 or 5 times before I finally like worked up the nerve to like just ask somebody, "Hey, how can I do something in this tent?" So yeah, it was just there were just a lot of tents that like, unless you knew the person that was doing the demonstration or leading the class or whatever, I don't know if I ever would have figured out how to get involved in that tent. Luckily, the Weaver leather tent was pretty easy because Ethan was the leather worker mm-hmm. that I was looking for, and Patty was the seamstress that I was looking for. So I was like, okay, I've seen them on Instagram. I know who to talk to, except for Patty wasn't there when I first went over there. it wasn't until you were going to go back to that class, and I was wondering how the hell you got into a class because they were all full.
Right. I got lucky. I definitely got lucky there. That was like, Patty was the first person I like bumped into. And I was just like, how do I sign up? Cause last year I was right beside her helping out Ethan. So I clearly like, there was no opportunity to sign up in one of the classes. So I definitely got lucky there, but I think knowing someone in the tent helps. I remember last year, the blacksmithing tent, there was Brett and Steve and, those are the two people I knew. And so I felt like comfortable going up. Like I had never met Brett before, from Brett McAfee from Skull and Spade 13, but I chatted with him online and I had, you know, commented on his videos and he'd seen some of my videos and whatever. So I felt like I knew him. And same with Steve, I'd never actually seen him in real life before, but I felt like I knew them because I'd, you know, had that connection and talked with them online before. It really helped break down the barrier so that I felt okay going up and saying, hey, I want to go do this. And so I agree with you. The restoration station was something I was interested in. And every time I kind of went by it, it was like full up with people doing stuff. And I didn't know who was the instructor and who was the student, right? Or what the whole plan was in that thing. And so like I kept walking by and like walking in and like I'd take a couple steps in and go like, no one said hi to, you know, or if someone did say hi, it was like, you know, I bumped into Dave Bauer there. So he said hi to me. So I was like, yeah, hi. Right. Like, I don't want to say like no one said hi, but I didn't know who was running the tent. Like you said, like having someone welcome you would be a big thing, or having an entrance and an exit in the tent. So you kind of go through it in a certain way and it being clear. What's that?
They should have like a picture of the person running the tent. The beginning.
So they did.
Like,
and this is
if
actually
you want to do this, find this person.
Right. Artigiano Serio, Matthew Serio, he ended up making little plaques for everyone, which was really cool.
Oh, yeah.
And if you, once I realized that's what, where, you know, what to look for, if they were on display, it was great. Right.
Yeah.
Then you could see the person, you could find the, you know, it was really good for like, as long as their picture was current. You can figure out who it was. There's a couple where I went like, oh, you're that guy? I guess I see it now. There's a different beard length and hair length. Sure, you were clean shaven and, you know, short hair. Now you're like bearded and, yeah, anyways.
All right, we'll just make all the tent runners wear a big, tall hat.
No, I think the big thing is, it's like, it. No matter what you do to prepare, You can't, because it's not like at a convention center, you like walk down an aisle and it's like,
yeah,
you know, there's a booth and a booth and a booth. These were like tents. So you kind of walked in randomly sometimes, like there wasn't like a clear in and out, or it wasn't like a clear. It was just kind of like the total boat tent was so big that you could walk in from like the back. Right. And You wouldn't know what they were doing unless. When they weren't busy, they would come up to you, but they were often like helping everyone build their boats.
Yeah.
Right. So they weren't like searching out new people walking in and seeing if they needed help. They were just busy. And Total Boat, I want to say, has like the most amount of staff there in their tent. I don't know if it's like staff or people manning or peopling the tent. Anyways.
So I wanted to ask, like, are the tents clearly defined? Like, you will find these companies and these people in the tents? Or okay, that was what I was curious about, because I think I would be nervous to just walk into tents, because I always do Maker Faire. Yeah, which is where it's like it's a booth and it's not like an enclosed space. You don't feel like you're like intruding on anyone. You're just, and you always know who is working it because they're like behind a table, you know?
Yeah.
I think I would be nervous when it's just sort of like chaotic free for all.
Well, and there's some things. So, go ahead.
I said it'd be very intense trying to work out what tent to be in.
Yeah. Yeah. Intense.
I wasn't making
the other problem. I know, but you were. So there was the other problem is there's demonstrations and there's classes. And there's like there's hands-on stuff, and there's things where you watch, right? And sometimes you don't know, right? Like they talked about, like there was the arrowhead making, right? So it's clear you're gonna go in there and you're gonna flint nap and you're gonna make an arrowhead small. I made one for those watching.
Oh, so cute.
Anyways, so yeah, obviously we're gonna do that. But then there was like a bow making. I was like, there's multiple times where there's bow making. I'm like, I think this is probably going to be a demonstration. It was. But I was like, I'd love to make a bow if I can, right? But then there was like axe handling. And I was like, oh, is axe handling going to be showing me how to handle an axe? Because I could see that being a demonstration.
Yeah.
Or is it going to be a class available, and it was a class available, which kind of sucked because then I didn't watch it because I was like, I don't really want to watch an hour of four students trying to go through it, right? Like, I'd rather see a pro do it quickly. No offense to like the people doing it for the first time. I don't want to, I don't want to watch that shit show.
Was it making an axe handle, or was it how to hold and handle an axe?
How to make a handle for an axe.
And right. Oh, okay.
See, that would have confused me. Because I'm thinking, I know how to hold a sharp object. I don't really need to take an hour-long course on how to hold an axe.
Well, probably you do. But
probably.
All that to say is I don't know exactly what the class was called, but they only had four spots, which was also unfortunate. Because I love the fact that there's all this hands-on stuff. But like Earl said, like, you get into a spot where you walk up and they're full.
Right? Yeah.
Or when I was waiting for the silversmithing class put on by Curtis Neiman, can't remember. Curtis. I stood in line for an hour for that class. I saw Jacob there. Another time I saw Jacob and I said, what are you up to? And he's like, I'm going to wait for this class. And he was number one. I was number two. And then there was a lineup of people behind us. And there was only six spots. And I know the year before she had like just gone and pumped people through. And at the end of it was like dead. Right. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like, this is the problem.
She probably went home and goes, I'm not doing that again next year.
Right. And I think it's because people want to share. And I get that. You want to share your passion. You want to show people what they can do. But it's like tiring and like just beat you to death. So she was very, and this is the way it should be. We have this many spaces. This is it. Mm-hmm. No, you can't share. No, you can't. Even though like you probably could share. No, I'm not sharing this year. This is it, right? She set boundaries, and I appreciated that. Right? It's one of the things that I know is so difficult. So, okay, we've kind of gone a tangent on what we did, but one thing you mentioned is like the Arrowhead, Earl. You saw me in that yurt. I don't know. It wasn't quite a tent. It was a yurt making the flint napping, and you didn't know what it was. So can you kind of go through your thought process of seeing me there and not bothering to come in and ask or anything?
I mean, I think it was a couple things going on. I think I was probably walking to go do something else anyway. Right. It was kind of almost, I don't want to say it was like awkward or whatever, but like when I saw y'all, it seemed like y'all were in this little secret society that somebody accidentally like peeks through the keyhole, right? And you're just oh hey. And so I was just like, oh, they're doing something in this tiny building or whatever. Y'all seem to be really into it, which is kind of cool, but like being that you were really into it, I didn't want to stop and be like, oh hey, what y'all doing, right? I don't want to interrupt the valuable time that y'all have doing whatever class you might have been doing. So I had no idea what that was until later I heard that it was, oh, you can go and make arrowheads. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I don't really know how to sign up for that. But, that was another one of the things is the schedule. And, maybe I'll see if I can send the feedback to the organizers in a more formal way or something. But the schedule wasn't awful. It's just that it was in one specific format. And I know like it takes a lot of like work and time to make things better. But like when I go to Dragon Con or MomoCon or whatever other conventions that I go to, they organize things in multiple ways. Like you can look up, usually you can look up what this particular track is doing, what their schedule is for that particular track, or you can look up by like day and time and stuff like that and see what all is going on there. And that is Baker Camp.
Yeah, that is the biggest thing I wish I could do, is just put in a time and see everything available at that time. Like, it's Saturday at 3 o'clock, what's available, right? That would be like the biggest thing I think would be like a huge improvement on the schedule. And I get the schedule is like a difficult thing to put all together, right? Like, it's not an easy task, but that would be like that feedback is, I don't know who makes the schedule, if they actually listen. I think I do know, but I think they do listen.
Not going to out them. So,
yeah, but I think that the biggest problem is like you with that many things going on, with that many different things, and you're trying to like shout out sponsors and people doing it, and you want to make sure that you don't leave out, the important information about like the people who kind of like helped put on that event. So, but I would love if there was some way that I could put in a date and a time and it said everything was available and I could just go, right? Like, this is available now.
You know, and again, not to compare events that have like 60,000 attendees to one that has 500, but another nice thing about these other things that I've gone to is like you can take the list of everything that there is to do and create your own personal schedule of like what you're interested in. That would have been pretty nice. And again, I don't think it's, you know, any fault to the organizers of MakerCamp. It's my own fault that I didn't go figure out a way to print off the schedule and like highlight the things that I wanted to do and make my own list. But I didn't even have the schedule for a little while because I didn't realize that there was open Wi-Fi network. And they were like, oh, yeah, there's a QR code over there on the desk that you can scan to get the schedule. And so I went over and I scanned it with the camera. It pulled up the link. I clicked on the link and waited and waited and waited, and nothing ever happened. And I was, like, frustrated. And then somebody was like, oh, well, there's Wi-Fi. So I went back later on Friday, finally got the actual schedule. But by the time I did that and just – I got there too late, got my tent and everything set up a little bit too late on Friday. I didn't do anything on Friday, maker related. I just kind of met people and walked around, trying to figure out who I could get dinner with because I didn't know anybody but Grant. So I went and found Grant at the sewing station and was like, hey, are you going to dinner? Can I go sit with you? Cause I don't know anybody else here.
Yeah. Oh, that was good. Yeah. So I guess I kind of we'll wrap it up a little bit back with the anxiety. I kind of like Jesse and Adam, do you guys have any other like thoughts on things that you could do or you could give people advice on how to like take advantage of things that are available? So we talked a lot like having the schedule ahead of time and highlighting what you wanted to do, or, you know, Emmett from Dead Rise created his own schedule and only included the stuff he was interested in and deleted everything else. So that's like a great idea. Right. So you're not interested in something, get rid of it. Right. You know, you're not going to go there. Doesn't matter. You know, is there anything else you can think of? How about Jesse first?
So I guess the only advice that I can even possibly give on this, because I'm not an extrovert and I am a hermit, but something that I have done in the past when I've gone to big conferences or, you know, maker fairs is, yeah, doing a lot of planning beforehand and having like a plan A and a plan B. Like plan if this B. doesn't work out, I can go do this. Like there's still possibilities. Because something that I always get stuck on is like if I've only thought about one thing and gotten excited about it and that's all I've considered, I won't go do something else if that's not available, you know? So like being able to plan ahead of time. Yes, exactly. So being able to plan ahead of time and like, I don't know, save yourself from some of that awkwardness. It's, I don't know. I just find that very helpful.
How about you, Adam? Any thoughts?
I haven't really been to like anything sort of like Maker Camp. I've been to one Maker meetup and was terrified the whole time. I even like when I got there, I like walked straight through because I didn't know anyone that was there at the time. I didn't recognize anyone. I walked straight outside and pretended to be on the phone to my wife and then, like, came back in once I saw someone that I recognized. I can't say because I haven't gone through the experience, but I feel like I don't really have issues with, like, say, going to the tent and doing something. I've been to, like, a few Comic-Cons and stuff, and I know they're different. My anxiety more comes from I always worry about what people think of me and mm-hmm. all that sort of stuff. So I'm more, like, worried about making a fool of myself or right. worried about, you know, stuff like that. So, like, one of the – when we're talking about this all now, the main thing I can keep thinking of is just down the road from me is what's called Raw Challenge. And essentially it's like a fitness like course. And there's like 100 obstacles or something, but they don't have a map or like a, they have a map, but they don't have like a go through of like, this is what every obstacle is. So I want to do it so bad, but then like my anxiety is like, won't let me do it because I don't know what I can and can't do. And I don't want to make a fool of myself. And I'm like, if I could see a picture of like every single obstacle, then I'd probably go do it. Cause I'd be like, okay, cool. I know that I can do that. I can work myself up to do that. Like, you know, but because I don't know what to expect, that's where my anxiety comes in.
So this is where during the camp, there was people often like sitting at tables, like showing off products. I went up to almost all of them. Like I wasn't buying anything. I ended up buying some Isotunes. But people at a table, no problem going up to talk to them. When you weren't sure, like that's easy. You see them, they got products on display or whatever. They're there for that reason. To know, yeah. Right. But they're also like welcoming. They want you to talk to them, right?
Mm.
And a lot of the tents, when they were not busy, would come up to new people as they walked in.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is Maker Camp's busy. It's a busy place.
Yeah.
Right? There's so many things going on. It's difficult to catch new people coming into your tent.
Yeah.
Even if you want to sit, like the Broadback people were actually really good. Like, so they had this one project, had a couple projects, but one of the projects where you would, and this is where I thought it was really great, is that you go to the Avid CNC place, you grab a thing that they cut out of sheet metal on their plasma CNC. And you take that to the Broadback place and you grind it down and you grind off all the slag and, you know, because it's a plasma cutter, it's going to leave some burrs or whatnot. And you grind off any rust because it's been raining constantly. And then you take that down to the Lincoln place and you weld it together. And then you go to the powder coating place and you powder coat it. Right. So you you have a track and those projects were probably the best. Now, they also had tongs, blacksmithing tongs, that you took from there. You went to the Broadback place to grind them because, again, slag from the plasma, whatever. Then you were supposed to go to the coal iron place and get them to use their press to do the whatever to make them into tongs. But the lineup was just too long. And there was like a sign-up sheet, and I put my name and number. And I went back a day later and not a single person was crossed off the sign-up sheet. So I don't know if someone just made it up. There wasn't a real sign-up sheet or what.
Maybe.
Just to get your hopes up.
Yeah.
So two things real quick. Did you do the first one you said, you went to Lincoln tent and then the powder coating and all that?
Okay. Yeah.
I want to talk about something in the after show. But the other thing is I feel like I sort of get the vibe, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I sort of get the vibe of if you're not booked in for a class that's full, and so like if you go to a tent and the class is full, right, that it's like don't even bother trying to talk to me. Like we're dealing with our class and
I wouldn't say that because like so when Ethan and I were teaching the leather class, the problem is when you're trying to teach something, it's really difficult to have people coming up and talk to you.
Yeah.
Right? But we still did it. People still came up, I left Ethan alone, but I saw lots of people going up to him while he was trying to teach a class, you know, because you get sidelined, and the people you're teaching want to do something afterwards. They don't want to stick around.
Yeah, exactly. I don't mean it as in they're being rude. I mean it as in, like, they're busy doing what they're doing, and they need to find a way to be like, this is closed off until, like, during this certain time when we're doing our class.
Yeah, you could tell. Yeah, you could tell.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But there's still people who do go around it.
Of course.
So I want to know what you guys did, though. Like, what classes did you take? What did you make?
Earl, go ahead.
So I did the project that Grant just mentioned, apparently out of order. I went to the Avid CNC, picked up the sheet metal, took it straight to Lincoln, and welded it. Horrible welds. I am not a great welder.
Well, it's probably because it was
covered
not
in slag.
Yeah, it's probably covered in slag and rusty.
I mean, I cleaned it off actually, the guy was just like, just use the jacket. So I, like, wiped it off with the Lincoln jacket. And that was fine. So it's just, I'm not very great at the welds.
Preparation for welding, preparation is key.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. I was going to say, like, you didn't get to grind, like, the space for the weld to get in there or anything, or?
No, that was all. It should have been
all done. Oh, okay. It was already all done.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But, okay, so you did that.
Yeah, I welded it there. I grinded the outside because, you know, they say the grinder and paint makes me the welder I ain't or whatever.
Yeah.
So then I took that back up to the powder coating booth. By the time I got there the first time, they were closed, so I had to go the next day to get that part powder coated. But I did powder coat the ornament the day before. So, Bad for Mancrafting basically let me do the bowl, you know, on my own.
Nice.
So that was nice. And then all day Saturday, I kept stopping back by the blacksmithing tent because I wanted to take the class and try to make a bookmark or whatever. And every time I would stop by, all the forges were down. So I was like, well, crap. So at dinner Saturday night, I sat with Curtis. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but he was one of the jewelry tent instructors that taught how to form like things out of copper.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's like I wish I'd taken that.
I don't want to butcher the name, but basically, kind of like you said, you know, just find somebody that I haven't sat with and try to sit down with them. So he was at a table by himself. I asked if I could sit down. We had a conversation and he encouraged me to just go to Open Forge and ask one of the instructors to show me. They would probably show me. So I went over and I asked the instructor if I could do the bookmark. And the instructor was like, you're going to be here tomorrow? If we're going to be here tomorrow, let's have you come back tomorrow. And I'll do the class with you tomorrow. But right now it's just Open Forge, so we're just doing Open Forge stuff. And I got really lucky because one of the guys that was standing around waiting for Open Forge time, his name was Anthony, French Canadian guy.
Yeah, I was gonna say French Canadian guy.
Yeah, he was like, "Hey, if it's okay, I can show him how to make a G hook," which I learned from this weekend that in French, G and J are opposite of the way that Americans say G and J. So it looks like, you know, a J hook if you're American.
Yep.
And so they were like, yeah, that's cool. So I was able to do forging without having taken a class just in the open forging time, all because I got lucky and found an awesome person that was willing to like give me one-on-one instruction on how to do something. And so I was able to make a J-hook that I'm very proud of. That turned out, in my opinion, pretty nice, considering it was the first time I've ever forged.
Yeah, it looks good to me.
You know, took a piece of round bar stock and turned it into a square and twisted it up and bent it and stuff. And yeah, so the only thing that I went to the Broadbeck tent for was to kind of shape the top of that hook and knock off the burrs on the holes that were drilled. But apparently they had, like, you could go make a knife.
Oh, really?
One guy had made a knife out of a file. So I didn't know you could do all that.
I think you could do things if you wanted to do them. I saw a guy making an axe. A bunch of like Chris Powell and Big Bear and some other people made a fire poker, a giant fire poker to go with the giant fire pit. It was pretty big. Yeah. And it, sorry to, I think the people in the know could do things that other people couldn't do. There was definitely a little bit of that, right? Like if you didn't know the people behind the wall, you couldn't get behind the wall to get in the, like doing, using the power hand or the press for your own projects. But if you knew who they were, or if they knew who you were, cause you're Instagram famous, concrete pourer, then you could get in there.
So what about you, Grant? I saw the Arrowhead, but what else?
Yeah. Well, so I made Arrowhead. I made that catch-all tray. I made a bookmark. Dark State Forge walked me through it, which is kind of cool because last year he got my Maker Swap item. And so it's kind of nice to like connect back with him and see that. I made the bag with Patty Brooklyn. I made the ring, silversmithing a ring. I tried to go see Dave Bauer and do some printmaking, but I don't know what it was, but the moons did not align for me to get there and not have them right next to it doing the chainsaw milling. And I was like, I can't. Like, I'm here and that's great. And I love you guys can do that if someone wants to watch that. I don't want to do it. I don't want to be anywhere near it. It's not part of the thing. I like it. To me, I'm just like, whenever someone tries to do chainsaw milling, I'm like, yeah, it's the exact same thing every time. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Who's so interested in this? But it's like fireworks for me. I chatted with Pat Lapp, showed me how to do some sharpening on a Tormek, which is pretty cool. I spent 5 minutes on a sawhorse before they started their class on handling an axe, because I just wanted to try one out to see if I should make one. I definitely think I should make one. It's really one of those things that I think if you want to use some hand tools, it can really help your game. What else?
Shave horse, right?
What? Shave horse. What did I say?
Ball horse.
Yeah. Saw horse. Shave horse.
It's like you don't have that. That makes sense.
I didn't spend a lot of time in the woodworking tent. Like, the problem, so I started a boat. I didn't finish it from Total Boat.
Oh, same.
Because that when I was finishing it, the power went out because they cut the power because of the river running through it, which is understandable. That's when I switched over to the Arrowhead, which was one of the things I wanted to do. I can't think of anything else I made or did. Saw lots of people, drank.
Did you take Ethan's class? Beers.
Did I what?
Did you take Ethan's class?
No, I've not.
You're already a pro leather worker, yeah. Right?
I literally, so when they announced what he's making, I was like, I had just made that. I just made what he made. I was like, here's mine. And anyways, I literally just made that exact project. I would have taken, if I hadn't have made that exact project just recently, I would have taken this class. But I literally just made that and I went, it's the same thing. And I already have one. And I already don't use it as much as I thought I would. So it's a eyeglass case thing. I wanted to do the 21 grams like leather tooling, but I never walked by there at an opportune moment. I think, Earl, you did the restoration station?
I did. on Saturday, I walked by and just happened to walk up to it because there was like two people in the tent at the time. And so I talked to Nancy from Fox Hollow Rustics, yeah. I think is the Instagram handle. And, you know, I was just like, yeah, I was just checking it out and seeing, you know, what this tent is. And, you know, she was kind enough to give me a rundown of, yeah, you just come in here, you pick a tool off the wall, we show you how to restore it, how to use it, and then you take it home. I was like, oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
So
I wish I had known that was what it was. I don't want to. They had hand planes and they had saws. I don't know if people were restoring saws or if they were just hanging there, but a saw is what I want to learn how to restore.
There was a saw that I saw on the wall, so you could have picked that. I didn't see anybody restoring a saw. I saw a variety of planes being restored around me. I saw someone restore a chisel, and I saw someone restore a square of some sort. I don't know if it's like a framing square or just a machinist square or something like that. There's a small square, so forgive my ignorance. I don't know the difference between all the squares.
Don't worry about it.
They were like, it's probably not 90 degrees. And he was just like, yeah, it's fine. And then I saw somebody restore a set of dividers. Or I don't think they were actually dividers. It was the ones with the like the curve that I think that you use on a lathe to check your width.
Caliper.
So
cool.
Yeah. I mean, it was a cool tent. There was some somewhat big either Instagram or YouTube people hanging out at that tent. Rob Rojas, Eric Curtis.
So there was a few people who I wanted to say hello to and I never got a chance. And it's probably because like either they didn't recognize me or I didn't recognize them. There's also some like Gnome Hammer Forge. I'd like to apologize him to publicly. But apparently he walked up to me and said hello to me, and I like looked through him.
Oh, no.
But I obviously must have been like in my head thinking about something else, and so he just walked away. And I bought a like my blacksmithing hammer is from him, so I feel bad. Like obviously he just never tried again because I blew him off. But when I saw like he, you know after the thing, I was like you know seeing people post pictures, I like messaged him, was like, oh, I can't believe we didn't meet. He's like, well, I tried, and I was like, oops. So. If there's anyone else out there who's listening and I like just didn't talk to you because I was like, there's a lot going on, a lot to think about throughout the weekend. But I did happen to meet some awesome people there, including some patrons. And so I want to, you know, I want to thank our supporters, especially the F-Clamp level ones, Scott from Daddy Yourself, Joe Herdina, Rich from Lowen Designs, David Wood from DW Wood Builds, who was there, Brad from I'm Gonna Make, and we got a new F-Clamp level supporter who I got to meet at Maker Camp, Chad from Chad's Custom Creations. He's one of the Chad Army, so that was really nice to finally get to meet him in real life. And so Chad has, he does like ultra blue eyes in his thumbnails. His eyes are pretty fucking blue. I'm just going to put it out. I was surprised. I was like, are these like, are you wearing contacts? Like, are you doing this? Cause that's like your thing. But yeah.
Or you just, dreamy.
He doesn't have to like, he doesn't have to dial it up too much to get what he's going. But if you feel like you get, you know, $1 of value out of the conversation we have every week, just for as low as $1 a day, you can support us. $1 an episode. You can support us. $1 a day.
$1 a day.
Hey, if you want to go $1 a day, you can become an F-Clamp level and I'll show you out. But if you want to go $1 an episode, you can go over to patreon.com/clamp. You'll get access to the pre-show, the after show, as well as a monthly hangout, which when you're listening to this has already happened for October. We're going to schedule one in November. Head on over to the Discord. Even if you are not a patron, you can get on the Discord and discuss the show. We'd love to have you over there. If you want access to that, hit us up on Instagram or Facebook or any of the other social media places. And you'll also get a keychain made by yours truly, individually numbered. These are numbered keychains. One that no, you'll never get another one like it because I put a number on it. So patreon.com/clamp. We appreciate everyone who supports us there. And now clampmendations.
Clampmendations.
Okay. Before we go into clampmendations, I feel bad. Like I didn't mention the 700 fucking people I met. This is the problem with like talking about Maker Camp is you're like, oh shit. I didn't mention that person or that person. So hopefully, I don't know.
That's all I think our mentions list is still going to be pretty sizable.
Maybe. But like,
what if we had beat last week?
Like Brian House, I met him and he was an awesome guy. And we had some great conversations. And, you know, I met all these, like, I got like 100 fucking stickers in front of me.
Oh, wow.
Like,
wow.
So I just feel bad not mentioning all the other cool people I met.
We Grant mentioned loves a bunch all of you, just as a blanket statement.
I love all of you, especially the people I didn't mention. I love you twice as much.
Especially the people that give us money.
No, that's not true. I love the people who don't give us money too. Like, I got to chat with Keith. Keith's a great guy. You know, Tony was there. Chris Powell, Corey, and Brian House.
But which Keith are you talking about? There's like five of them. I saw the picture.
Yeah, all of them. Keith Decent, good. Keith Blackthorne, Keith Renan, good. Keith with the name that I can't pronounce because I think it's German, good. The other two Keiths, I don't think I know them. Probably good. You know, there was, you know, Rasmus. He was sleeping in my tent. Great. Metal Chef Customs made a cool pan. Awesome. Brandy from Studio Abe. She's great. Love her accent. I don't know.
What lots kind of stuff. Accent?
It's Louisiana.
Oh, fuck. I love that. Yeah. It's yeah. Fantastic.
There's Steph from Uncommon Outpost. Had great conversations with her. I was on the Storyteller's Tavern with Lee and Leah because Mush couldn't make it. And that was really fun. And, you know, and I had a good conversation with Leah. I think Leah.learning on Instagram. The Ryan Price. So I put out a call. You got to keep all the shit in now.
We've got a whole new episode.
Yeah, I want to call out. I want to make sure I talk about all the awesome people I met and talked to. So it's like I put out a call on Instagram for any of my American friends.
When you do that, I'm going to go away.
Yeah. I was like, all my American friends who, you know, don't have access to ketchup chips or Smarties, if you want something, hit me up. So Dave Bauer, you know, messaged me and I got him some ketchup chips and Smarties and apparently wheat thins, multigrain wheat thins are different in the States. But Ryan Price, who's also a Canadian, messaged me and asked me to bring him a coffee crisp. So I did. I told him to go fuck off, basically, and then ended up bringing it anyways. There was like Ryan Cochran, who's another Canadian. That was a good conversation. And Scott Goodsell had great conversations with him. I met the shop teacher, who was the guy who gave me the ornament in the Christmas swap that Making Our Way put on. Had good conversations with Boone Island Originals. I met a guy named... his name's not Steve, but the problem is everyone thinks his name is Steve. I think it's Scott Wiener, and had a good conversation with him while building a boat. I met the Maker family. I met Evan who's another Greenworks sponsored guy. Well, he's more like sponsored than I am. He's like, he gets their clothing and shit. I don't get that, but he's another Canadian. And he was down there representing, Greenworks. I met Erin from Ninja Rhino Woodworks, and then I met her again because she wasn't wearing a hoodie anymore. And she's like, you already met me. And I was like, ah, damn, you're right. I got Chris Will Make. Got to meet him. There's a bunch of people I got to meet and chat with, and it was a lot of fun. And I'm sure I'm missing some people who didn't give me stickers. So
I don't remember
everyone. For everyone out there that I met and I forgot to mention, of course, all the Mozzies, you know who you are, so I don't need to say it. it was a lot of fun getting to meet all those people. And now, Clampmendations.
Clampmendations.
My Clampmendation for this week is going to be a YouTube channel called Chaos Causes. It's a motorbike channel. And I really enjoyed the guy's content. So I think he's originally from the UK, but in the last video I watched, he said he moved back to South Africa, but he doesn't look South African. So I don't know what the go is there. Like, I think his parents might be South African that lived in the UK and then he's gone back.
How do you not look South African? Is he white or black? Because both are South Africans.
Well, he's white and he sounds like he's from London. So
yeah, South Africa.
Oh, so there.
You know, all those South African, white South Africans are from London.
Okay, then. Anyway, so he lives in South Africa, and he does heaps of bike videos and stuff. They're really good.
Cool.
Alrighty, so mine this week, going spooky again, because it is spooky season. It's a YouTube channel this week. It's called She's Scared, and it's basically this girl who reacts to horror movies. And she's the only reaction channel for horror movies I found that I can stomach. Like, a lot of them are really obnoxious and do, like, a lot of fake screaming and laughing and trying to make a lot of jokes. And she just reacts, like, genuinely just reacts. And I think it's fantastic. I have been watching her during work a lot of the time because she has a great channel if there are movies where you don't really want to watch them, but you want to see the best stuff. You can just kind of, like, watch along with her, and it's great. Yeah, I don't know. I just, you know, it's a good background channel to have on, and she deserves all of the subscribers, I think. So yeah, go check her out.
I don't know if I've heard other people talk about that channel or other concepts, but have you not recommended that channel like 3 times now?
No.
Okay.
No, but I did recommend or at least a couple podcasts where it's like a movie review. Like,
but I remember like someone that hasn't seen it.
That's Too Scary Didn't Watch. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. Like that stuff. I don't know why. I think it's really awesome to see how people react to horror because everyone.
Do you like watching people play horror games?
Yes. I love it. I'm not brave enough. I'll like throw
the controller. Maybe not. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, what about you, Grant?
So I'm going to recommend everyone check out all the names that I mentioned earlier. Every single one. And anyone I didn't mention.
Also, everyone keep me in your thoughts because I will have to go through the show and find all of those names.
Yeah, now you have to because they actually be part of the show.
Yeah, yep. So you know, keep me in your thoughts over the weekend because I'm gonna die.
If you can prove that you went and followed everyone that Grant listed, and you live in America or anywhere but Australia, Grant will send you a clamp sticker. And if you're Australian, I will send you a clamp sticker. You have to send us a screenshot of every follow.
All right. Even the ones I didn't mention. How are you, Earl?
Read his mind.
Well, as a first-time attendee of Maker Camp, I know it's kind of a cop-out. I'm going to recommend Maker Camp. It was a lot of fun, even though it rained a lot on Saturday and everything was cold and wet and soggy and miserable. It was still fun. There were a lot of amazing people there. So if you're thinking about going to Maker Camp and you've never been, I'd say go. I had 100%. A great time. and also, for a non cop out, if y'all don't mind, want to plug my, one of my best friends. He's got a web comic that he's trying to, put together. He releases every so often, a new page. It's called Mixed in Genetics, MIXTEN Genetics, I believe is that.com. I've seen him evolve his art style from much less of what it is now to what it is now. And it's been awesome to see his growth and, you know, he writes and draws all the stuff that he puts on that website. So, and he does the webs, all of it. Like he's hidden some hidden messages in the the DNA and the background of the website and stuff like that. Just does a lot for his site, and I just think that he deserves more recognition.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Cool. Yeah, I used to back in the day every morning. I had like a bookmarks folder of daily web comics. That I would open, that would be like my morning thing. I'd go and open that whole tab and it would open all my daily webcomics and I'd read all the daily webcomics. And I haven't done that in a while, but maybe I'll go check this one out. Maybe I'll do it. I don't know. It's not daily, but that was the problem. It got to like, you get to this point where you feel like I'm like it's almost like a chore to get through. And I stopped doing it. I was like, I'm just out. I'm out of webcomics.
That, or you would, you know, fall behind a few days and then you feel like it's a mountain of things you have to read through.
Yeah.
It happens with me a lot of TV shows. Like I'll miss one episode and I'm like, all right, now I've got to watch two episodes. And then next thing I know it's 3, 4, 5. And I'm just like, nah, fuck that. I'm not doing it.
Correct. Well, on that note, let's go over to Jesse's section of the podcast.
Oh, it's always so weird to hear Jesse's section. Okay, so the Ask Us Anything question. Thank you, Austin.
Who's it from?
It's a new one. High Caliber Craftsman Builds, Austin. Yeah, so if you were gifted $10,000 that you had to use in your shop, what would you buy? Do you guys want to go first?
Now I'm going to throw Earl first. He hasn't heard the question. It's up to him to say, you got 10K, let's go. What do you got?
Probably buy a really nice laser. And probably if I have any money left over, I'll try to buy like a mini split or something for the hot summer.
That's a good idea. Mini split. I didn't even think about that.
Mini split was on my thing, but I'm hoping that they'll start sponsoring videos again and then I can get one. But if I got 10K, I'd probably buy a saw stop and I would buy a really nice like leather or slash fabric sewing machine, like a heavy duty industrial sewing machine that could do the leather, but also I want one that does leather and not leather. I don't know. I assume they do that, but
yeah, you just have to switch out your needles on the fancy one. They're really good.
Yeah, and they're probably like quick release needle things. So
it's I'm sure. All right,
there
we go.
Well, you asked a question, so you have to go last.
Okay.
I reckon I would probably buy one or two better 3D printers, some good high quality quick ones. I have pretty much. To be honest, with what I want to do now, I pretty much have everything I need. I'd probably upgrade all my tools, all my power tools to the ones that I use mainly. I'll upgrade to a better brand.
What? How could you get better than Ryobi?
That is true. Can I just say a motorbike?
No.
And I'd probably renovate the shop a bit if I could, if I was allowed to. Paint the walls and all that sort of stuff. Redo the floors.
Jesse.
Okay. So I also was really tempted to say like a nice laser, but I think I'd rather have a CNC. So some sort of like decently sized CNC machine, a nice table saw, just because I've never had one and I would love to have one. And then, an industrial sewing machine, a really heavy duty sewing machine. That would be fantastic. And then I'd probably blow the rest of the money on organization because I love that.
When you say a decent size CNC, do you mean like a full sheet?
Oh, yeah. Like
you're not having any change left over.
Well.
You only got 10K, remember?
I guess, okay, let's do a half sheet. Let's do a half sheet.
Half sheet's what I used to have.
And how much was it?
3.5.
Right. So a full sheet's not 10K. You got lots
of money, but not for like a decent standalone one.
Well, and I guess I would have to do some shopping. It might not be decent, the one I ended up with.
I mean, don't get me wrong. The one I had was amazing. It is amazing. But I mean, I spent $3,500 and then like bits and stuff on top. You'd probably be looking at $5,000 by the time you add dust collection and all that sort of stuff. Because to be honest, like it's so much. I feel like a laser is a half sheet laser is better than a half sheet CNC because it doesn't have like all the sawdust and everything. It's all cut and go. No,
it depends on what you want to do.
Depends what you want to do. Yeah, because you can't do like 3D.
Earl,
can I ask a stupid question? So I'm assuming we are talking about 10K American dollars. When Adam or Grant, when you think about these prices, are you thinking about American dollar prices as well, or are you thinking about?
I'm just assuming my own money, my own currency.
When I think about, so if it costs, $10,000 American. If I were to do the conversion, that's how much it costs me here, because everything just costs more here.
Oh, okay.
So, I didn't even.
So if you give me 10,000 American, it goes just as far regardless, even though it's more Canadian money. Things cost more here.
Oh yeah,
okay. I guess I do remember when
my $3,500 is only 2,200 American.
Right.
So yes,
I was going to say a 4x8 sheet of a 4x8 CNC is under.
I'll buy two sheets of plywood and I'm broke.
Yeah.
And what were saying, Earl? I think you and Adam were talking over each other.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, no worries. I was just going to say that kind of makes sense what Grant was saying, because I remember seeing these prices on certain things. It would be $8.99 US or $10.99 Canadian. And I would always just wonder why it was more expensive than Canadian, but it makes sense though.
Yeah. Yeah, we just kind of get screwed because our market, we're like a medium-sized state for our entire country. That's how people look at us. And sometimes they look at us like Hawaii or Alaska, where it's just not fucking worth shipping to, right? we only service the contiguous states. We don't bother with Alaska,
Hawaii, bother with North America.
Or Guam.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of CNCs and fancy CNCs, could you get one of those CNCs like Jeff Stein has for under $10,000? Or are those more expensive?
The Odyssey? It's less than...
Yeah.
Yeah, did you meet Corey?
I don't think I did.
Oh. Did you meet Chris Powell from Full Steam Designs?
Yeah.
If you saw his, also similarly short, but no beard person standing next to him, that was the guy who makes those.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. So you might have met Corey from Odyssey CNC, and that's who actually makes those. So the weird guy CNC, you could get it for cheaper. He was that was what he was trying to get going, is a three-axis CNC. So instead of having, most of the times, if you're going to have that, you'd have a four-axis. But the way that he was trying to get it out was that you wouldn't need the fourth. You'd just use a three. Anyways, it's all good. Yes, definitely. Talk to Odyssey CNC if you're interested. He's not producing them right now, but he's going to in the future. He's letting the beta testers doing a little fun thing. But I want to thank TF Turning for the theme song. I want to thank Earl for coming on. Why don't you tell everyone where to find you so you can grow from 129 followers all the way up to potentially 131.
Nice. It's earl3.xyz. On Instagram, and it's also a website, so you could go there, and there's a link to the YouTube that has zero videos, because I can't bring myself to record anything that I do.
Right, fair. And if you want to look for a three, is it in Roman numerals?
Not in the username, no.
Okay.
So, Earl, the number 3.xyz.
There we go. Just making sure. So thanks a lot for coming on. It was fun to have you and, have you on your first podcast. Hopefully in the future, you'll be on a few more and you can remind them about how great Plamp was.
Sounds good. I appreciate y'all having me on.
All right. Well, if you want to find the rest of us, you can go on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube and search Clampcast, and you should be able to find us. And if you'd like to leave a review, we'd really appreciate it. Until next time, cheers and have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.